Father Young. Good morning, Father.
All our friends out there listening today to Radio Maria, it's a great joy and pleasure to be with you today as we continue to honor Mary, the Queen of Heaven and the Queen of the Divine Will, in a special way today through the writings of Luisa Picaretta, of a little daughter of the Divine Will. We want to share with you more insights into the role of our Blessed Mother in the history of salvation and in the life of the Church. And so let us begin with a prayer as we always do, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John today that He would make it clear to us and tell us clearly about our Heavenly Father, as He did in the Lord's Prayer and as He did while He was here on earth. We thank You, loving God, that You continue to speak to us through Jesus and through our Blessed Mother about who God is and who the Father is for us, and about His divine will that wants to reign here within us and among us on earth as in heaven. So, loving God, we know that it's through Mary that Jesus came to us, and it's through Mary that we return to Your eternal kingdom. And so we pray today the prayer that our Blessed Mother gave to Luisa herself to be prayed each day in this month of May. Immaculate Queen, my celestial mother, I come upon your maternal knees as your dear child to abandon myself in your arms, to beg of you with my most ardent sighs in this month consecrated to you, the greatest grace of all, that you will admit me to live in the kingdom of the divine will. Holy Mother, you who are the queen of this kingdom, admit me as your child to live in it, so that it no longer be deserted, but populated with your children. I entrust myself to you, my sovereign queen, so that you may guide my steps into the kingdom of the divine will. And held tightly by your maternal hand, you will guide all my being, so that I may live continuous, perennial life in the divine will. You will be a mother to me, and because of this, I shall consign my will to you so that you may exchange it for me with the will of God. In this way I can be sure of never going out of His kingdom. So I beg you to illuminate me, enlighten me, to make me understand what the will of God means. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mother Mary, we love you. Love us too, and give us a sip of the will of God for our souls. And give us your blessing also, that everything we do may be under the watchful and loving gaze of our Heavenly Mother. In Jesus' name we pray, now and always, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So it's wonderful to be with you again on this Saturday morning in May as we prepare, at least in this part of the world, for the great solemnity of the Ascension of our Lord, which in other dioceses was celebrated on Thursday. So we're entering that kind of between time between the Ascension of our Lord and the beginning of the Church with the baptism of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost coming upon the disciples and our Blessed Mother. So it's a very grace-filled time for us in the Church, and actually we could say it's a grace-filled time for the whole world these days in which we live, because Holy Father John Paul II proclaimed this as a new Pentecost for the world, that a new evangelization was happening, a new deepening of our Christian faith, and I truly believe that that's what this divine will teaching is all about, this gift of God's life, the very life of the Most Holy Trinity dwelling in us. And so as Jesus told the apostles in the gospel today, that he said, now I speak in figures, but a time will come when I speak more clearly, more directly about who the Father is and about the will of the Father and how it wants to reign on earth. Well, I believe, brothers and sisters, we're living in that time when God is speaking, Jesus is speaking through the Holy Spirit in the Church much more clearly through beautiful souls like Luisa Picaretta, and in a very special way, Luisa, because the gift that he wants to reveal to us, to give us in a more profound way, is his own very own life, the very life of his His divine will. So just a little bit more details about Louisa's life, because not because she is the, you know, the one who makes it happen, but she is the one through whom it happened, that God would restore this gift and the knowledge of the gift to us. So to begin with, just a little bit about Louisa's life, and what I wanted to focus on the aspect this morning is her relationship with priests and through priests with the church. Louisa was always a faithful, obedient daughter of the church, so much so that it cost her great sacrifice and suffering in her life. And so throughout her life, even from the moment of her, of the day of her birth and her baptism, Louisa had a very special, privileged role in relationship to priests. That her godfather was a priest, the pastor of the Mother Church of Corrado. And so Louisa was throughout her life attended by priests. She was helped by them. She was ministered almost every day of her life by priests. And so a great privileged soul. And Jesus says it was because he wanted everything that she did to be in union with the church and in a sense under the church, under the mantle of the church, Holy Mother Church. And so throughout her life, Louisa had much contact with very many priests, even to the point of having Mass celebrated in her room, many if not most days of her life for her alone. And so, like all special graces of Louisa's life, when she began to write, this came under the form of a cross, a great suffering. It was an obedience. In 1899, when her spiritual father and confessor, Father Michel de Benedictus, died, and Louisa received a new confessor whose name was Don Gennaro Di Gennaro. And almost immediately in February of that year, 1899, Don Gennaro commanded Louisa to begin to write down everything that took place between her and Jesus. So the obedience came through a priest, and the obedience, of course, was from God himself, but it came through a priest so that Louisa, we would not lose what Louisa lived in her own experience of the divine will, that we would be able to learn and take advantage of her tremendous gift of living in the divine will so that we too could receive it. So Louisa says this was one of the greatest martyrdoms of her life, to suffer this obedience, to write down, imagine everything that transpired between her and God, no matter how small in detail it was. So Louisa wrote, "With his help, I will be able to write for the glory of God and for the love that I bear for the most noble virtue of obedience." So in 1910, a very special priest came into Louisa's life. He was not one of her appointed confessors, but he was visiting the diocese that Louisa lived in to establish an orphanage. His name was Father, and now saint, canonized saint of the church, Hannibal de Francia. And he met Louisa for the first time, most likely at the suggestion of her confessor, Father Gennaro. But soon, Father Hannibal found himself at the center of an association of priests who shared a common thirst for holiness and a great admiration and respect for Louisa. In fact, members of this group included a Jesuit, other diocesan priests, Franciscans, Father Eustachio Montemuro, who was founder of the Sisters of the Divine Side, and a very notable priest, Father Ferdinando Cento, who later became a cardinal of the church and remained always close to Louisa, even as a cardinal. So with this group of priests, Father De Francia came to learn about this great gift and teaching of the divine will that God was revealing to Louisa. And he came to love it so much that he felt by the Holy Spirit that he needed to publish these writings. And so first he edited them and began to publish first the Hours of the Passion, which we read during Lent, and later the Book of Heaven, the first 19 volumes, which received imprimaturs from her bishop at the request at the Nihil Obstat, which St. Hannibal, as the censor of her writings, was able to give them, which means there was nothing contrary to the faith. So throughout her life, you would see this relationship with the priest always present until her very death, and she died, in fact, in the presence of her last confessor, Don Benedetto Calvi. So Luisa's life was very special in its relationship to the church through the persons of the priests that served her and that she served, because she taught them in exchange this great gift of divine will for all their kindness to her. So just to also give us a little more insight into her life, I'd like to have Barbara read for us this morning one of Luisa's letters. And Luisa wrote a good number of letters, and actually a good many, to one person whose name is Federico Abresh. He was an Italian who was a good friend and convert of Padre Pio's, not far away in the town of San Giovanni Rotondo. And so he was a great friend of both Padre Pio and Luisa Picaretta, and often went back and forth exchanging messages between them. And in fact, he was the first to start a group of the Divine Will study in San Giovanni under the guidance and with the blessing of St. Padre Pio. So this letter is written by Luisa to Federico Abresh, and you'll see it begins with a reference to Padre Pio and then goes on to give us some beautiful encouragement.
Fiat, in the will of God, dearest child in the divine volition, with all my heart I thank the Lord, and also I thank him for the visit you made to venerable Padre Pio. Likewise, I thank the Lord with all my heart that you want to be a child of the divine will. What a grace, what an honor for you, and what happiness you will give to our Lord and to our Heavenly Mother. You will be the light of the Blessed Mother's eye. To care for you and reassure you, she will carry you in her arms. I beg of you, heed her beautiful lessons. Study them, and you will see, little by little, that the great lady will abide in your spirit, placing in its center the Son of the Divine Fiat, not as an appendage, nor to suppress you, but as vibrant life in all your acts. Moreover, just as you feel breathing, your heartbeat, and warmth, this is how you will feel the life of the Divine Will. This life is already in us, breathing in our very breath, beating in our heart, warming us, and moving in all our movements. However, we don't pay the least attention to this life, so it seems difficult to us to live in its volition. Nevertheless, we are going to pay attention. Then we will feel this life in all our being. Furthermore, full of love, this divine will tells us, contemplate. It is I who beat in your heart and you in me. It is I who speaks, who thinks, and who loves you, so that not even in the least moment do I leave you alone. Rather, it is I who moves in you, and you, do not leave me alone. Speak, think, and love in me. Oh, what a happy life, the creature in the divine will, and the divine will in the creature, forming a single life. How I would like to thrust the child in the divine will so as to give him my heavenly mother as a triumph and the greatest victory for her maternal heart. You shall be a very dear child for me. I beg of you that you don't lose heart if you do not completely understand this mystery of living in the divine volition. You will do it, little by little, if you manage to pay attention to it, especially knowing that holiness does not fly. Rather, it walks little by little. You need courage, trust, and the will to do it. The rest comes by itself. Now, my dearest in Christ Jesus, build yourselves a heavenly family on earth and yield everything to the divine will. Invoke it in all that you do. acknowledge the divine will as the author of all. We live in it, but it is difficult to recognize, and thus we often set it aside. How many tears are shed because the divine will feels isolated from us? I commend myself to your prayers, leaving you in the holy divine volition and the arms of the Queen of Heaven. I remain most affectionately the little daughter of the divine will. P.S. Try to promote the book of the Queen of Heaven. The great lady wants to go about making visits in order to build the people of the divine will. Make her happy.
So very touching and beautiful letter of Louisa to Federico Abresh, and I think really to all of us as well, to encourage us and to help us understand better this great gift of the divine will. She says we shouldn't lose heart. Little by little, to grow in holiness, we don't fly, but we walk. And so she says we need courage and trust and the will to do it. The rest will come of its own. So it's, you know, for all of us, as we begin to come to know this great gift and to study it, we can be sometimes a little discouraged by two things. One is our inability to always grasp exactly what's being said, and the other by our ability to live what's being said. So we don't want to be discouraged by that. We're human. We're weak without God and without the Holy Spirit and our Blessed Mother. We're really capable, as Jesus says, of nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. So we're never discouraged or downcast about it, but we do our best to understand. And then the advice I think most people give as you read is simply, when you don't understand something, pray a little bit and then keep reading. Ask the Holy Spirit and our Blessed Mother to help you, and then go on, because eventually, most likely, excuse me, the same theme, the same concept is going to return in another way, and you'll be able to grasp it perhaps a little better at that point. So our understanding is very important, but at the same time, God works beyond our understanding. And so we could say the same about our living it. We're human again, and we're weak. And as Louisa herself says, Lord, it's not even possible to keep this attitude at every single moment of the day of uniting us ourselves with His will. But He says, it's your intention that I look at. Again, it's the heart. This is interior. So it's a movement of the soul. We don't worry about doing anything in the divine will so perfectly as we do want to do it with love and with the desire to be united with God in every moment of our lives. So that's why it's important that we do that prevenient act in the morning to cover the day, to bless everything that we're going to do with the divine will, so that everything can return to God with the love with which He's given it to us. It's the capacity we have in our souls to be one with Him. And so the other point of this letter I wanted to highlight, certainly she emphasizes how important it is that we turn to our Blessed Mother for help, and that we read her lessons. They're very childlike, very simple, but also very profound. What Mary is trying to teach us in this book, of her book, The Virgin Mary in the Divine Kingdom of the Divine Will, is really how God wants to work in our lives as well. Because as He accomplished the great gift of the Immaculate Conception in her, as He accomplished that feat of bringing her into the kingdom of the divine will from the moment of her conception, He wants to do it in us in a more gradual way, as Louisa just said, in a progression of growing in knowledge and in love and in faith in this gift, so that we too can live it to the extent that we're capable. We'll never live it as perfectly as Mary did, because she was conceived with it, without original sin, with this original grace. But we have been born in original sin, so it's a bit more of a struggle. It's a challenge for us at all times to put that human will aside. Is it still there? Of course. Is it still operating? Of course. Because without it, we can't choose freely to love God. We can't choose to unite our Teresa says, study them and you will see little by little that the great lady, our Blessed Mother, will always stay with you, and she will help form the son of the divine fiat in your soul. And she says it's not going to be as an appendage that is something extraneous to you or something that wants to suppress you, but as the very life of your life, the very soul of your soul, life in breathing and acting in everything you do, think and say. And so the other point she wants to make is that this divine will is not something new, and some people might want to question and even accuse this teaching of being a new revelation in the church. Well, Jesus is very clear throughout the Book of Heaven, and Luisa is very clear in echoing his voice here, that the divine will is not a new gift. The divine will has been with us since the beginning of creation, since the dawn of life in creating the universe. Adam and Eve had it as a gift, as grace from God, when God gave them his own life. But it was lost. And so the living in the divine will was, it's not the divine will that was lost. It's the knowledge and the capacity to unite ourselves with it that was lost. That's what Adam and Eve lost, which was symbolized by the tree of life, which they, when they were dispelled from the garden, they lost the tree of life. The tree of life in the Garden of Eden, which the Book of Revelation says will be restored to the victors, to those who conquer the beast in at the end of time, those who are saved and redeemed and sanctified, that we will all eat again from the tree of life, because that tree is the very life of God. It's the life of the divine will. So Luisa is saying, you know, the divine will is everywhere. You can't even leave the divine will if you wanted to, because everything is in God's will. What is not has not been done and lived is the awareness, the acceptance, the appreciation, the love for that will of God in such a way that we make it our own. And we want to live by the power and the goodness and the mercy and the love of that will, rather than by our own weak and vacillating human will. But our human will is still necessary, because that's the only way we can choose to unite ourselves with the divine will and to surrender to it. As I read one of those signposts at an evangelical church recently that said, willpower means I give my will to God and he gives me his power, the power of his own divine will. So I'm always turning my will over in every moment, which is an act of the will, in order for the divine will to come and then infuse my will with its power, its divine life and glory and love. So that's when Luisa says, then we will feel this life in all of our being. So she says we must pay attention to it, we must be grateful for it, we must desire it, and we must receive this gift. That's our work on our part, our disposition, if you will, for this wonderful life in the divine will. Well, now to move along, we'd like to read a passage, one of the entries from this book of the Virgin Mary. And Our Lady herself came to sit with Luisa, sat on her bed for every day in this month of May. And she gave her these beautiful lessons with some additional ones at the end. And today, as we near the end of the month of May, we're going to read day 29. And the reason is this is the day in which our Blessed Mother tells Luisa, speaks to Luisa, about her participation in the great feast of the Ascension, which we have either just celebrated on Thursday or will celebrate tomorrow. So this is a beautiful explanation of how Our Lady shared in the joy of the resurrection of Jesus and in his ascension, to help us understand how everything in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is for us. It's for us to participate in, to receive, to share that glory with the Most Holy Trinity. And so we're going to begin, and we'll just read it and then perhaps take a few minutes of silence to reflect on what we've heard, and then come back with some comments on this. is day 29 in the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will, which Lillian is now going to read.
The Soul to Her Mother Queen. Admirable Mother, here I am again on your maternal knees to unite myself with you in the feast and triumph of the resurrection of our dear Jesus. How beautiful is your appearance today, all loveliness, all sweetness, all joy. I seem to see you risen together with Jesus. O Holy Mama, in so much joy and triumph, do not forget your child. Enclose the seed of the resurrection of Jesus in my soul, so that by virtue of it, I may fully rise again in the divine will and always live united with you and with my sweet Jesus. Lesson of the Queen of Heaven. Blessed child of my maternal heart, great was my joy and my triumph in the resurrection of my Son. I felt reborn and risen in him. All of my sorrows changed into joys and into seas of grace, of light, of love, of forgiveness for the creatures, and laid my maternity with a seal of my sorrows over all my children given to me by Jesus. Now listen to me, dear child. You must know that after the death of my Son, I withdrew in the cenacle, together with beloved John and Magdalene. But my heart was pierced, because only John was near me, and in my sorrow I said, "And the other apostles? Where are they?" But as they heard that Jesus had died, touched by special graces, all moved and weeping, the fugitives drew around me, one by one, surrounding me like a crown, and with tears and sighs, they asked for my forgiveness for having so cravenly abandoned their master and having run away. I welcomed them maternally in the ark of refuge and salvation of my heart. I assured them of the forgiveness of my Son, and I encouraged them not to fear. I said to them that their destiny was in my hands because he had given them all to me as my children, and I recognized them as such. Blessed child, you know that I was present at the resurrection of my Son, but I did not say a word to anyone, waiting for Jesus himself to manifest himself as risen gloriously and triumphantly. The first one to see him risen was the fortunate Magdalene, then the pious women. And all came to me telling me that they had seen Jesus risen and that the sepulchre was empty. And I listened to all, and with an air of triumph, I confirmed all in the faith of the resurrection. By the evening, almost all of the apostles had seen him, and all felt triumphant at having been the apostles of Jesus. What change of scene, dear child, symbol of those who have first let themselves be dominated by the human will, represented by the apostles who run away, abandoning their master, and their fear and fright is such that they hide. And Peter reaches the point of denying him. Oh, if they had been dominated by the divine will, they would never have fled from their master, but courageous and triumphant would never have departed from his side and would have felt honored to give their life to defend him.
Thank you, Lillian. So we have the first part, the dialogue, beginning of the dialogue between the soul, who represents all of us, and then our Blessed Mother giving her lesson to Louisa on this day 29. So Louisa is learning from Mary here that even Mary was present in spirit with Jesus at his resurrection, and that she shared his joy, and that her role after the resurrection was was to confirm the faith of the apostles and the disciples, the women as well, and also to help them not to fear that God would forgive them, that Jesus had pardoned them for their denials and for fleeing from him in his great need. And I think it's a great, beautiful lesson to know that Mary wants to have the same role with us, that she is the mother of mercy, as we say in our prayers, that she is the one through whom God wants us to know the mercy and forgiveness of God. And so she is a mother who brings us to Jesus and always wants us to be reconciled with him, as she did with the apostles and with the disciples. And so this role of Mary as the queen of the resurrection, we could say as well, is meant to help us to know that, as Jesus says many times in the Book of Heaven, that the resurrection happens in every moment of our lives, that everything we do is a dying and rising. We die to our human will and all of its desires and passions, and we rise in the will of God. We rise once again to a new life, to a new way of being, a new way of loving and serving through the power of God's own will. So the resurrection is not just something that we wait for at the end of time. It's something, of course, that happens every day. So before we conclude, let's just take a few moments to reflect on these words of our Blessed Mother and to see how God is calling us in our own lives to be more docile, more receptive to the gift of God's Spirit coming to live in us.
Dear child, my beloved son Jesus remained risen upon the earth for 40 days. Very often he appeared to the apostles and disciples to confirm them in the faith and certainty of his resurrection. And when he was not with the apostles, he was together with his mother in the cenacle, surrounded by the souls gone out from limbo. But at the end of the 40 days came, beloved Jesus instructed the apostles, and leaving his mother as guide and teacher, he promised us the descent of the Holy Spirit. Blessing us all, he departed, taking flight for the vault of the heavens, together with that great multitude of people gone out from limbo. All those who remained, and they were a large number, saw him rise. But when he had reached high up, a cloud of light took him from their sight. Now, my child, your mother followed him into heaven and assisted at the great feast of the Ascension. For me, the celestial fatherland was not a strange place. And then, without me, the feast of my son ascended into heaven would not have been complete. Now a little word for you, dearest child. All that you have heard and admired has been none other than the power of the divine volition operating in me and my son. Therefore, I love so much to enclose in you the life of the divine will. It is operating life, because all have it. But the greater part have it suffocated and to serve themselves. Whereas it could work prodigies of sanctity, of grace, and works worthy of its power. It is constrained by creatures to remain with its arms folded without being able to unfold its power. Therefore, be attentive and let the heaven of the divine will extend itself in you and with its power work what it wants and how it wants.
Thank you, Barbara. So that concludes the lesson of the Blessed Mother today on day 29. And it's that last paragraph, I believe, is a very important one. And it confirms what we just heard in Luisa's letter to Federico, that she says this life of the divine will is already here. She says, I want to enclose you in that life of the divine will, for it is operating life and everyone has it. Everything exists in God's will, and God's will is operating in everything. She says, but the greater part have it suffocated and use it to serve themselves rather than working the prodigies of holiness, of grace, and works worthy of its power. So the divine will that we see operating in Jesus, first of all by nature and in Mary by grace as the Mother of God, as the Virgin Queen of the Divine Will, that same gift, that same power is given to us. We already possess it. We're already living in it. But as Mary says, we're not aware, we don't know what that power is. And therefore, the study and the coming to learn and to embrace, to know what this gift is so very important. And I think for us to be hearing these words and to be given this gift of knowledge of God's kingdom, of the reign of his will coming to be restored to earth, is the greatest gift that any of us could ever receive. And so how blessed we are to be alive today, to know and to be living after Luisa, so that we could have these writings available to us. It's just an infinite and eternal treasure that we will never exhaust, even in heaven, because it contains the very words of God's life, the life of God's own divine will, which he says, as we read, begin to penetrate us as light. They begin to dwell in us and transform us so that the gift of God's will can remain always there. So that instead of, you know, as most of us live in it, sometimes not, kind of in and out of God's will, that God desires that it be permanently fixed in us so that, and we in it, as Jesus says, on the branches on the vine, so that everything we do is empowered by that union with the Most Holy Trinity and the one will which unites the three persons of the Trinity. And so we have that gift in baptism. We live in it simply by being creatures of God. But so often we forget, even after we come to appreciate it through the knowledge, the readings that we receive, it's still easy sometimes to lose sight of it, especially at the beginning, to forget what it's all about. And not that it has to be always a consciousness, but certainly the love and the desire have to be there at all times so that we can continue to embrace and to live in God's will at every moment. As Mary says, it's constrained, it's restricted by creatures, and so it can't operate. It can't do, the will of God is not able to do in us what it desires because our human will is keeping it from doing so. And so again, it's that disposition to surrender, abandon, unite our human will to the will of God that allows God and actually gives God the freedom, if you will, and the power to work as he wants and wherever he wants. So now to conclude this day 29, we have this little response of the soul back to the Queen of Heaven and a little flower that is a little exercise of practice for the day and with a final prayer. So now Lillian's going to read for us the very conclusion of day 29.
Now, dear child, the soul, most holy mother, your beautiful lessons enrapture me, and oh, how I wish and sigh for the operating life of the divine will in my soul. I also want to be inseparable from my Jesus and you, my mother. But to be certain of that, you must take the pledge to keep my will enclosed in your maternal heart. And even though you see that it would cost me much, you must never give it back to me. Only thus can I be safe. Otherwise, there will be only words, but the deeds I will never do. Therefore, your child commends herself to you and places all her hopes in you. Little flower, today to honor me, you will make 3 genuflections in the act in which my son ascended into heaven, and you will pray him to let you ascend with the divine will. Exclamation, my mother, triumph in my soul with your power and grant that I will always remain in the will of God.
Thank you, Lillian. And so that concludes the day 29 with this prayer, if you will, from the soul, responding to the lesson of Our Lady, saying that we need to, like Louisa, we need to remain in Mary's heart, that we need our Blessed Mother, as a child needs, always needs its mother, to care for it and to help us, to remind us of those times when we do slip out of God's will, perhaps by our impatience or our neglect, sometimes our laziness, whatever the factors in our lives that keep us from being attentive to God's will. And so she asked Mary to keep her human will enclosed in her heart. Why? Because in Mary's heart, there's only the divine will reigning, certainly in union with Mary's human will, but it's the divine will that has the dominion and the power there to do all that God wants through her. So she asked Mary to keep her will. We asked Mary to keep our human wills in her heart, that is in her inner life where the divine will reigns. And there we can be safe. Otherwise, as the soul says, we're only going to be using words here that the deeds will be lacking. And so certainly words are an important way for us to communicate, to receive, and to respond. But it's really our acts that are so important. And that's why so often in Book of Heaven, Jesus will remind Louisa, don't let anything, any one act of yours escape, in the sense that it's not in my will, that it's not infused with the love and the power of the divine will. And so Our Lady invites us to make three genuflections to honor the ascension of the Lord, to pray that he would let us ascend with him in the divine will. And this might sound strange to us. Well, how can we ascend into heaven? Well, St. Paul says we're already there in one sense, in the eternal dimension. Transtemporally, we're already seated, reigning with Christ in heaven. And so he says, keep your attention fixed on the life of heaven. Because it's the life of heaven that is the perfect unity of the divine will with our human will. So even now we can, if you will, ascend with Jesus to live the life of heaven, and those gates were opened so that also the divine will could descend to earth, so that God's will could come and reign in us and everything that we do as we try to live that life of heaven even here on earth. And so we pray that our Blessed Mother would triumph in our souls with the power of God's will to help us always remain in it as sons and daughters of that supreme fiat, the will of God. So that concludes our reflection on day 29 in the Virgin Mary. Next Saturday, a week from today, we will read day 30 in this beautiful work, as our way to commemorate the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the Church, as we celebrate that next Sunday. So, but this Sunday, as we, most of us will be celebrating the Ascension of the Lord, we joined Louisa in asking our Blessed Mother, who, you know, she shared in the Ascension in her own way by her body being assumed into heaven without corruption, that we can pray that even in this life, before we die, that we could share that ascension with Jesus and Mary, that all of our acts would rise to heaven. Everything we do would be touched by that eternal and infinite, universal gift of the divine will, so that it can give glory to God and be extended upon earth to help save souls and make reparation for the sins of mankind. So to continue, we just have about 10 minutes left this morning. We're going to read, I'd like to share with you a couple of passages from Volume 12. Volume 12 is the one Louisa began writing in 1917 on March 16th. And many of us use it as the volume to begin our study because it has such a wonderful concentration of the essentials of this gift. And Jesus is teaching Louisa at this point in her life, in a very profound way, the meaning of God's will and how he wants it to reign in us and in her. So these two passages we'd like to share if we have time for both. The first is a short one from Volume 12, and the date on this one is December 18th, 1920. And it's, again, not a long passage, but it has to do with how we can thank God and requite God, that is, make gratitude to God, thanksgiving, for all that God has done for us through his Blessed Mother, through Mary, the Mother of God. So Barbara's going to now read for us from December 18th, 1920, in Volume 12.
After this, I felt myself outside of myself, and I found myself together with my sweet Jesus, but so close to him, and he so close to me, that I almost could not see his divine person. Moreover, although I do not know how, I said, "My sweet Jesus, while I am near you, I want to attest to you my love, my gratitude, and all that the creature should do for you, for having created our Immaculate Queen Mother, the most beautiful, the most holy, a portent of grace, enriching her with all gifts, and making her our mother. Moreover, I do this in the name of creatures past, present, and future. I want to seize every act of the creature, every word, thought, heartbeat, and step, and in each one of them, say to you that I love you, I thank you, I bless you, and I adore you for all that you have done for my and your celestial mother. Jesus was grateful for my act, so much so that he said to me, "My daughter, I waited with eagerness for this act of yours in the name of all generations. My justice and my love felt the need of this exchange, because the graces are great that descend over all for my having so enriched my mother. Nevertheless, they never have a word of thank you to give me." Another day, I was saying to my amiable Jesus, "Everything has ended for me, suffering, the visits of Jesus, everything." He immediately, "Have you perhaps stopped loving me and living in my will?" Whereupon I, "No, may that never be." Then he, "If there is not that, nothing has ended."
So that passage is from volume 12, December 18th, 1920. And the part, of course, we wanted to highlight is the gratitude that Luis is expressing in the divine will for all that the divine will has done through Mary for us, her children. And so this idea of gratitude, and Jesus is so delighted by it. And he says, "I've been waiting for this act of yours." Why? Because now Louisa can offer it on behalf of all generations, all souls of all time, from Adam and Eve to the last ones on earth. And he says, "Then my justice and my love felt as though they had been satisfied." So much of this life in the divine will, dear friends, is really about this satisfying the love of God. If you think of it, all love wants to be returned. God has expressed his love for us in creation by redeeming us through Jesus and Mary, and now by sanctifying us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he wants an exchange for these acts of love on his part. And he says, "The acts that our Blessed Mother has done, because they are acts of God, that is, the acts of the divine will working through her, that he wants the exchange on our part for those acts as well." And he says that so many times creatures fail to give thanks for these great graces which have descended from the heart of our Blessed Mother and for God's work in having enriched her so greatly. He says, "Yet they never have a word of thank you to say to me." Well, thanks be to God, we have the month of May to honor our Blessed Mother, crown her as queen, to thank God for her and to honor her in a very special way. And so as we celebrate these great feasts of Ascension and Pentecost, it's comforting to know that Mary is there to help us to enter the mysteries that we celebrate in a deeper and more efficacious way. That is, we want the graces that Jesus has earned for us through these events of his life to flow upon us and through us upon all the earth. And it's Mary, again, who helps us to do that. The second passage we're going to read now is from, at least begin to read. It's a long one, so we won't be able to finish it. But it's January 17th, 1921, again, from Volume 12. And this one has to do with the way in which our Blessed Mother's fiat, and this is a Latin word. You've heard, I'm sure, many times the word fiat means "let it be." And fiat mihi, the word in Latin, means "let it be done to me." So Mary's words, fiat mihi, "let it be done to me," are the words that, in a sense, penetrate and form the completion of the prayer of Jesus himself, which is that the Father's will be done on earth as in heaven. And this is the completion of that prayer and our participation in Mary's fiat that brings the kingdom of God to reign here. And so now Lillian's going to begin for us January 17, 1921.
I felt my poor mind immersed in the immense sea of the divine volition. Everywhere I saw the imprint of the fiat. I saw it in the sun, and it seemed to me that the echo of the fiat in the sun brought me divine love that darted me, that wounded me, and struck me. And I, on the wings of the fiat of the sun, ascended even to the Eternal One. And in the name of the whole human family, I took the love that darted the Supreme Majesty, that wounded him, that struck him, and I said, in your fiat, you have given me all this love, and only in your fiat am I able to return it to you. I looked at the stars, and I saw in them the fiat, and in their sweet and gentle sparkling, this fiat brought me sweet love, hidden love, and compassionate love in the very night of sin. And I, in the fiat of the stars, brought to the throne of the Eternal One, in the name of all, pacific love, to put peace between heaven and earth, the sweet love of loving souls, the hidden love of so many others, and the love of creatures when they return to God after sin. But who could say all that I understood and did in the so many fiats in which I saw all of creation absorbed? It would take too long to say it, therefore I end. Then my sweet Jesus took my hands between his, and holding them tightly, he said to me, my daughter, the fiat is all full of life. Rather, it is life itself, and therefore all lives and all things come from within the fiat. From my fiat, creation came forth. Thus, in every created thing, one sees the imprint of my fiat, of the fiat mihi, of my dear mother, said in my volition, which had the same power as my creating fiat, and thus the redemption came. Hence there is nothing in redemption that does not contain the imprint of the fiat mihi of my mother. Even my very humanity, my steps, words, and works were sealed by her fiat mihi. My pains, wounds, thorns, cross, and blood had the imprint of her fiat mihi. Because things carry the imprint of the origin of where they came from, my origin in time was the fiat mihi of my Immaculate Mother. Consequently, all my work carried the seal of her fiat mihi.
Thank you, Lillian. Beautiful passage there on that extraordinary word, which really captures all of the works of God, of creation, redemption, and now sanctification through the power of the Holy Spirit. So on that note, brothers and sisters, we'll have to conclude our program today, and I want to thank you for being with us this Saturday morning, and invite you to join us again next Saturday when we'll be concluding the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will with the reading on the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the Church, and our Blessed Mother's part in that. So we wish you all a most blessed week, and again, if you have any questions, please address them to us at Divine Will Questions, at Divine Will Questions. Anyway, I'm forgetting the last part of that. And you can find the archives for these recordings at Divine Will Tallahassee. So, yes, so it's divinewillquestions@gmail.com for questions, and at gmail.com. And then you can also find these recordings on divinewilltallahassee.com, which is a website. So again, we thank you, and let us conclude now as we give glory to God together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you always in the heart of our Blessed Mother and in the heaven of the Kingdom of God's will, the Father, the Son,